Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the IFGL Refractories Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Monarch Networth Capital Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ziko. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, I welcome you all to the Q1 FY26 earnings conference call of IFGL Refractories Limited. We are pleased to have with us the management being represented by Mr. James McIntosh, Managing Director, Mr. Arasu Shanmugam, Director and CEO India, and Mr. Amit Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer. We'll have the opening remarks from the management, followed by a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to the management for the opening remarks, please.
Yes, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us on the IFGL Refractories Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. I hope you and your family and friends are in good health. Along with me on the call, we have our Director and CEO India, Mr. Arasu Shanmugam, and Mr. Amit Agarwal, our CFO, as well as SGA, our Investment Relations Advisors. We have uploaded the results and presentation on the stock exchanges, and I hope every one of you have had the chance to go through these. IFGL Refractories began the year on a healthy note and delivering strong performance in both a standalone and consolidated basis, achieving the highest-ever quarterly revenues. On a year-on-year basis, standalone revenues grew by 14%, while consolidated revenues rose by 10%. Standalone EBITDA stood at 37.7 crore, with margins of 13.5%, while consolidated EBITDA was 39 crore, translating into margins of 8.5%. Amid well-reported global headwinds, India continues to outperform, backed by strong economic fundamentals, and maintains its position as the shining star of the global steel industry, recording a 6.3% growth year-to-date. As the world's second-largest producer, this reinforces the decision we made in 2021 to prioritize our domestic market growth. Our India-made, India-sold strategy has driven a 32% increase in standalone domestic business, reaching 213 crore. We remain confident in India's growth potential, reflecting our ongoing CapEx investments in the country. Amid the ongoing global volatility, we are encouraged by early signs of improvement in some of our subsidiaries, particularly in the United States. The recent policy direction from President Trump, focusing on Made in America, includes a doubling of steel tariffs from 25%-50% under Section 232 of the Trade Expansion Act. This move aims to boost domestic steel manufacturing by protecting U.S. producers from foreign imports, which we expect will positively impact our American operations by strengthening local steel production. Our U.K. operations in Sheffield are performing well. The planned Sheffield technology transfer is on track for completion by quarter three of this year and will enable us to bring advanced technologies and new products to the Indian market. Additionally, the ongoing restructuring of British Steel is expected to open up positive opportunities for us. On the Monarch side, our restructuring program is well underway. With our new leadership team, our new product development focus is beginning to bear fruit, with industrial side orders received after very encouraging trials at many of our customers. We have opened new sales channels, including wholly owned subsidiary in Australia, which will enable us to capitalize from growth opportunities there. And finally, the creation of a new team focused towards refractories and technology begin to make their influence felt. We believe that we will see positive figures within the next few quarters, and then beyond, we will be in a position to grow our business and profitability. Our German operations continue to face pressure amid the ongoing European economic slowdown in the foundry space, as discussed last quarter. We remain focused on navigating this challenging environment by actively exploring alternative applications for our foundry products to diversify our opportunities. While market conditions remain uncertain, we are confident that once stability returns to the region, our strategic initiatives will start delivering tangible benefits. With this now, I would like to hand over to Arashi for his comments on our developments in the India region.
Thank you, Jim. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am pleased to share that we have delivered our highest ever quarterly revenues, which is 278 crore, first time in the history, in first quarter of FY26. With this standalone revenue up 14% in the first quarter. Domestic revenues grew strongly by 32% to 213 crore, while exports stood at 63 crore, down 22% on year-on-year basis. Profitability was lower compared to last year, primarily due to higher raw material costs, which are now showing a sign of stabilization, and increased employee costs following organizational changes we implemented over the past 8-9 months, which is an investment in human resource. Building on an organization 2 years prior to the actual revenue generation is paramount importance for a company in growth path. It is also important to note that Q1 FY25 EBITDA has been benefited from one-time provisional reverse of about 3.5 crore related to specific customer, which is not reflected in the current quarter numbers. Moving ahead, our prudent decision a few years ago to focus on the Indian domestic market is now delivering strong results. India continues to stand out as a bright spot in global steel industry and indeed the global economy, with GDP growth estimated over 6% ahead of any major economy. As mentioned by Mr. McIntosh, our strategic domestic focus has been supported by steadily the capacity expansion. And last year, we took another important step by entering the non-ferrous refractory segment. We see this as a high potential growth driver for the future, offering significant opportunities while helping us diversify our product portfolio. A dedicated leadership team is spearheading this initiative, and we are confident it will add meaningfully to our long-term growth trajectory. On the CapEx front, our greenfield project at Khurda, Orissa, has been kicked off and is expected to be completed by the end of financial year 27-28, with a project cost in the range of 300 to 350 crore. Our Gujarat greenfield project, joint venture with Marvels, currently under regulatory approvals and is targeted for completion by the start of the year FY29, with an estimated cost of around 300 crores. This JV focuses on non-ferrous refractories, primarily producing basic fired magnesite spinel break, basic fired magnesite break, fired magnesia chrome break, and other basic breaks. This expansion will strengthen our product portfolio and open new growth opportunities. Moving ahead, I am pleased to share that during the quarter, our research team in India could internalize and implement the technology provided by our subsidiary EIC in America for developing a cold start SES for slab caster, the newly designed solution for cold start operation in steel plant. Ongoing trials have shown encouraging results, with the design demonstrating stability in most cold start scenarios. This innovation directly addresses real-world challenges in steel casting and reinforces our commitment to delivering high-performance, reliable solutions to customers worldwide. During the quarter, we also inaugurated a 60-ton-per-day fully automatic continuous tempering kiln for magnesia carbon production at our Vizag unit. This milestone enhances our ability to manufacture high-performance magnesia carbon bricks for steel making, ensuring superior performance, longevity, and reliability in high-temperature applications. Our technology transfer from Sheffield, another subsidiary, is progressing well and is expected to be completed by third quarter this year. This will enhance our product capabilities and enable us to supply products that are currently not manufactured in India. Our experts are actively working on the process and we aim to complete it at the earliest possible time. Our total refractory management offering also gaining traction, and we are actively engaging with few steel plants in this space. We believe we have immense potential to deliver. Despite the global scenario, we remain confident in our long-term growth story. With this, I hand over to Amit for financial performances.
Thank you, sir. Let me give you a brief on the financials. Starting with standalone financial highlights. Total income in Q1 FY26 stood at 278 crore, registering a strong 12% year-on-year growth. Our highest ever total income during any quarter. EBITDA for the quarter was 37.7 crore, decline of 15% year-on-year growth. The decline in EBITDA and margin was primarily driven by ongoing global headwinds, elevated raw material costs, and higher employee expenses resulting from structural changes and team expansions at various levels. Additionally, operating expenses increased due to new plant. It is also important to note that Q1 FY24 EBITDA included a provision reversal, as mentioned by Mr. Rasu, of around 3.5 crore related to some customer, which was not present in the current quarter. EBITDA margin was 13.5% for Q1 FY26. Profit after tax is rupees 14.7 crore in Q1 FY26, declined by 33% year-on-year. Breaking it out further by geography, our domestic business recorded a robust 32% year-on-year growth in Q1 FY26. The domestic market now contributes 77% of our standalone revenue in Q1 FY26, up from 67% in Q1 FY21. Our export business saw a 82% decline in Q1 FY26, largely due to economic slowdown and demand confusion across key overseas markets. As a result, export contributed 23% to our standalone revenue in Q1 FY26, down from 33% same period last year. Let me now move forward to consolidated financial highlights. Our consolidated financial highlights also include our international subsidiary. Total income for Q1 FY26 grew by 8% year-on-year, reaching 257 crore. Our EBITDA is 39 crore for the quarter, a decline by 26% on year-on-year basis. EBITDA margin of 8.5% in Q1 FY26. Profit after tax stood at 10.8% for quarter one FY26, down by 6% on year-on-year basis. With this, I shall now leave the floor for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. If anyone wishes to ask a question, may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from Lakshmi Narayanan KG with Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you. We had a very impressive performance in the India standalone. Want to understand, you talked about raw material issues. So which raw material exactly you are talking about where the prices have been, elevated? Can you just give a, from a what kind of price escalation you actually got and how are the prices trending now? Raw material.
Yeah, you see, when I said raw material, we said raw material as a bigger item, but actually it should be called as total input cost. Let's say, most of our operations, wherever is there, even the labor cost increase, every quarter, 6 months, there are increases. Barring that, alumina family, it is available in public domain. You can see the kind of alumina price increase all over the world. And that has definitely a major impact. In addition to that, various, other raw materials such as some of the power-consuming raw material like fused raw material, wherever, power is highly consumed. There, even various companies, they have put power, surge charges, which also finally affected. So, in a nutshell, anything which is involved with fusion, all raw material, primarily aluminium and magnesium trace, in addition to that, other inputs. So, everything has surged.
And how are you seeing it right now? We are already in the mid of August. So do you think that pressure continues in this quarter and you think that it is settling down or how is it?
So it is actually now, let's say instead of earlier we used to see continuous increase, now wherever it has reached, it is stabilized there. No much trend of an increase, we are foreseeing right now.
What has been the percentage increase in raw materials, if you can just elaborate?
I mean, it's different for different raw material and it's putting up, a single figure combining everything will be difficult. I would say it is that level. I mean, it's not a pinpointable, it varies and it's a mix effect.
Okay, like alumina alone, like how much it has actually gone up for us?
No, I think those, very detailed particular, I think we can discuss later, but I said,
in terms of your India standalone business, can you just give a split of, how much is flow control and how much is the ramming mass, etc., broadly?
No, readily I don't have that. We don't have that, but IHL is predominantly a flow control company. Definitely a substantial portion of revenue comes from flow control and allied, which covers isostatic, slide gate, lateral, flow control, zirconia, nozzle and other things. But that's our always a major source. In addition to our new entry, whatever we have just explain in the introduction part, we are also entering into the non-ferrous where predominantly the bricks and the monolithic comes. But still we are a flow control, selling company predominantly, and to become a balanced one, it will take 2 years down the line after our, till the time our projects are, delivering products and sales.
Yeah, but for me, it's what's been important in the growth of IFGL since 2021 is to not only grow our business in India, but also to grow the breadth of products which we manufacture. I mean, it's absolutely clear in the, you know, prior to 2021, the focus of IFGL was flow control. And, you know, flow control was very much on the fingertips of everyone. But since then, we've added, you know, we've added mag carbon bricks, we've added high alumina bricks, we've added casting flux, you know, we've added a wide range of precast shapes, we've added products in many different areas. So for us, it's less important to talk about percentage flow control. It's more important for us to talk about where we're taking the business in general. Sorry, I also just wanted to add that.
Correct, yeah.
And another question is that, you know, these revenue growth which you are actually getting in standalone, are you gaining market from, you know, are you displacing a company or all these are all like greenfield client engagements?
Mostly the all growths are through gaining market share in the existing as well as spreading our total refractory management model to new already running steel plants. Not much of greenfield project, you know, revenues.
And the goodwill return off will continue till which quarter?
Goodwill return off.
This is the last year. After that, there is no goodwill.
So Q4.
Yeah, this year it will be closed.
Got it. Thank you, and I'll come back in queue.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants: if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from Harsh K. Shah with Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. A few questions from my side. So firstly, great work on the domestic side. Just wanted to check here, I mean, in terms of the strategy in the domestic market, is it a case that, you know, we are focused more on, you know, gaining more market share at the cost of aggressive pricing? So why I ask this question is because one of your listed players has been, you know, kind of calling out since many quarters in that in general the competition is kind of undercutting. So wanted your thoughts on it.
This is absolutely our strategy. Sorry.
If someone could, I mean, I couldn't hear.
No, our managing director mentioned, no, just now, it is our strategy and competition will, we also have the same feeling. Okay, so other competitors are cutting, but in spite of that, we have our strategies of increasing market share. So it's not what you mentioned, what the other competition mentioned is incorrect. And it is basically because of our different strategy, which also, I would say that we won't elaborate much on that. But you ignore what they have said.
So basically what you're trying to say is that you are not undercutting, right? I mean, to be very precise then.
Absolutely not.
Got it. And also, I mean, do you have any you know, kind of a data point in terms of what your market share could be within the flow control in India?
Okay. We don't have that figure immediately calculated, so.
Got it. Secondly, for any like-to-like products between, say, IFGL or any of your peers, how would you rate your product now that, you know, since last 4 years you have been, you know, kind of bringing a lot of changes? So how would you compare in terms of, say, performance or tech to your peers? And also, if you could, do you have any, you know, low-hanging fruit in terms of the product portfolio or something which you would like to highlight on that?
On performance part of, you know, whatever you ask, we are at par or some places we are better. because that's the real selection criteria of customer. So you can't be an underperformer and still gain market share, right? So that is on the first part. On the second part, definitely we have, you know, you have, I already mentioned in my opening remark about our entering into non-ferrous and other things. So it's going to be a balanced, you know, portfolio spread out across all the factory consuming instead of just depending on a particular small narrow portion of a steel value adding chain. So it's going to be a balanced as we move ahead. On the performance front, I have already told, we are at par with the international players or better. And that's the key and the main reason and enabler for our market share improvement.
Got it.
Just ask, every area that we as a company have looked at entering, our first starting point is to look at obviously the performance in the market. The reason that we invest so much in research and new product development is to create products which compete in the market favorably from a performance point of view and also from an economic point of view. Some of these new products will create for the customer value in different ways depending on the customer. Our objective always is to look at the market and to decide and determine what is the best way for us to grow in that market in the most effective fashion. And now IFGL today, after certainly the last 4 years, is in a much better technical position than it has ever been to capitalize on growth potential and new opportunities than it has ever been. And we aim to continue doing that in all of the areas that we are concerned with and all of the new product areas that we are looking at is to grow our business by performance. Sorry,
got it.
Just wanted to add that, Arasu.
Yeah,
you are right, absolutely.
Okay. And also, sir, if you could, you know, kind of help us understand, right, I mean, you have mentioned in the PPT that the new projects would, you know, start contributing, say, from FY28 and onwards. But if one has to, say, understand how, you know, say, FY26 and FY27 could pan out just for our standalone operation, which is purely the Indian part, what are the growth levers? I mean, how should one, you know, consider in terms of what growth projections, or maybe if you can help us understand from where, you know, we'll be able to, you know, grow the in a similar manner which we have, you know, kind of done in the past few quarters. If you could help us, you know, deep dive at least on the Indian operations, how, what is the plan for the next 2 years till the other projects come on stream?
No, because next 2 years, as I was mentioning, we are going to considerably grow in our non-ferrous with alumina plant, which is already running from Gujarat. Till the time our basic plant is getting ready. On the other side, like what our MD mentioned just now, leveraging the research and other thing, how we are going to improve our, product and performance so that we gain more market share. I mean, you know, very indication is like we used to have some 14-15 customers on total refractory management basis. Now it has grown to 21-22 and it will grow further. So it's leveraging the product strength and the research for enhancing our market share in existing customers, as well as finding new customers in the same space, as well as growing in non-steel till the time projects are going to come.
Correct. I mean, I understand. So another way of asking, if you could help us understand what would be the average capacity utilization for us, ballpark. I don't want product-wise, just in general, overall company level within India.
No, you see, in refractories, particularly when we have a full-range player, it is very difficult to put one single number on capacity utilization, okay? So I don't think I can give you a single number on capacity utilization. I mean.
So safe to assume that.
Agreed, Anshu. I mean, I think that, obviously, the efforts of IFGL to grow in the domestic space has been focused towards new product development, new areas of investment. We've invested heavily in all areas of flow control. We've invested heavily in all of the new product areas. And of course, when you invest in production capacity, then that enables you to be in a situation where you can grow the business. Now, our objective over the next few years is to grow the business, and we don't have any more expansion plans for our current product range. That gives you an indication that we have plenty of capacity. Also, if you look at our objective for the future, it's to introduce more new products, and these will come as a result of our investments in the new joint venture that Anshu mentioned earlier, and also the development of our new plant in Kolkata. So there's an awful lot of growth potential for us, and most of the investment that we have in our existing businesses, for example, on the ISO side, is purely technical. It's upgrading the technical capability of the product.
Got it. So safe to assume that.
Upgrading the technical capability.
Yeah.
These are all standalone.
Got it. So safe to assume that in the standalone, you can grow in excess of 15%-20% for the next 2 years, even without any incremental CapEx?
Correct.
You are right.
Okay. Got it. I will get back in with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a point there.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you would like to ask a question, ladies and gentlemen, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Thank you. Our next question comes from Sahil Sanghvi with Monarch Networth Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity, and congratulations for good numbers, especially on the domestic side. Now we are upwards of 70% exposure from the domestic market. So my first question is, this time what we see is that the revenue numbers and the EBIT margin from America has improved substantially after a very long time. So if you can just highlight what were the factors leading to this and how sustainable is this?
Really, in the United States, there has been a very much a very positive change in sentiment since President Trump has come in. And we see a very much more buoyant market as a result. If you were to look at the United States back in the last term of President Trump, it was very positive for the steel industry. Very positive for the steel industry because, obviously, when you have tariff protection against low-priced products coming from other countries, this enables the domestic manufacturers to really focus on developing.
Right.
And there is tremendous investment in the Nucor Group, SDI, and various other groups. You have the very positive Nippon Steel deal with U.S. Steel. So there's an awful lot happening in America and the steel industry, which is all very positive for suppliers. And obviously, that's where IFGL benefits because we have two specific businesses in the United States which are focused on the steel industry, and both of them
are seeing very good improvement, and we believe that will continue. We believe that will continue very positively from now.
Right, sir. Right. And secondly, I wanted to understand, I mean, on the new products that we have introduced, the magnesia bricks and mold flex powder, I mean, how are we doing on that front, and what kind of ramp up do we see on that?
We do see a very good ramp up rate. Like, for example, we are expecting to, in another 4-5 months, we may reach a very good level in magnesia carbon. Magnesia carbon traction is very good. And I know our performances wherever we supply are definitely very, very encouraging compared to the existing vendors. So it gives us an opportunity for taking a sizable share from there. So that definitely goes well. And costing flex, because it is, it's little critical for customers. So there, the trial phases are all full on. It will get little, longer time on the commercial order and, ramp up. But they are all in the expected level, both are on the expected rate of, ramping up is taking place.
Right, sir. And sir, this 3.5 crore gains that we've received, is it from Liberty Steel?
Yeah. It includes Galati and some other.
Okay. Understood. And, understood. Thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue if I have more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Thank you. Our next question comes from Rahul Kumar Singh with Prabhudas Leeladhar Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Actually, my question is with the CFO. Hello.
Yes,
hello.
Your voice is not clear.
Sir, sorry to interrupt you, sir.
I just
want to
ask you that
Mr. Rahul Kumar?
Hello.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Sir, may I request you to use your handset, please, sir? Your audio is not clear, sir.
Okay. Just a minute.
Yeah. Actually, I just want to ask if, that Europe has loss-making before, and this quarter also used to show that the 8.69 crore loss. So, yes, sir, can you brief that to the I will regret this year in next 3 quarters. What is your projection? You are going to doing any projects or anything or something like shutdown or like so Europe only, especially Europe.
The question is not clear.
I mean, I'm not able to hear. We couldn't hear.
Unless you are using a Bluetooth device, may I request you to use your handset, sir? Disconnect the device.
I'm on it. Actually, my question is, Europe is a loss-making project of yours from last 3 or 4 quarters. So, can you elaborate this? Hello?
You are talking about Europe?
Hello?
Are you talking about Europe? We couldn't hear you properly.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't understand, I'm afraid.
So the participant has left the queue. We'll move to the next participant. Before that, I would request a reminder to all the participants. If you would like to ask a question, please press star and one. Our next question comes from Mayank Bhandari with AMSEC. Please go ahead.
Sir, if you could highlight to what does this regulatory approval mean for the IFGL Marvel JV?
So Marvel JV, IFGL, the regulatory means what, we already acquired the land. And in Gujarat, there are, steps, converting agricultural into non-agricultural and then from non-agricultural to, industrial use. So that processes are all moving. The other regulatory in that line it is moving. But parallelly, you know, there are other jobs which are simultaneous in nature, right? Without even preparing your project, selecting, the process line and equipment, all those things are moving simultaneously. So I would say that we are not losing any time in that, but simultaneously the work is going on. Once the regulatory is over, then the work will start, and then we will meet the committed time of end FY 2029. That we are going to meet.
Yeah. So I think as of now, we are targeting FY 2028, where we will see the contribution from the basic bricks in this JV.
FY 2028 is for Khurda and 29 is for JV.
So 29 is then, okay. And this is postponed because of regulatory approval thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Secondly, sir, what is the contribution from, I mean, in terms of tonnage, if you could highlight from the alumina bricks and magnesia bricks both in 1Q?
I think that we are not doing. We have just started the business in alumina bricks and magnesia bricks.
I think last time you had given 400 tonnage number for.
I think we have shared the monthly production and sales, not the contribution.
Okay. And if I look at your annual report, sir, Sheffield has kind of remained flattish in terms of revenue if you compare with FY 2024. And we have also seen profit of only 2 crore from Sheffield as per FY 2025 annual report. Could you highlight to, I mean, what could be the future growth expectation in this going next two, three years in terms of revenue growth as well as profit?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Sheffield's results over the last year or so were affected badly by the blast furnace. They're very big in blast furnace, and they were affected by Scunthorpe, British Steel Scunthorpe going to a one blast furnace operation for a period of time. Now that the second blast furnace is back up and running, we've returned to normal situation. As far as growth in the future is concerned, as Arasu mentioned earlier, there are a number of projects which Sheffield specifically are working on with IFGL India to bring new technology to India, especially in the iron-making side and also on the non-ferrous industrial side of the business, which is new for us. That will be a positive for them. And also, we have, through the restructuring of our Monacon operation, we are creating sales outlets and organizations which will not only benefit Monacon but also seek to help the Sheffield operation to grow its business in other market areas that they have not been so far. So we see a very positive future for Sheffield, for sure.
Okay. And if you could touch upon again on the EI ceramic part, where we have seen very sharp drop in the profit all in FY 2025. 24 number is 13 crore of profit, and 25 is only 5-6 crore of profit.
I'm sorry. I didn't understand that.
Did you get that? On the subsidiary EI ceramic.
Could you concentrate on that?
EI ceramics, I'm asking question, which is the profit drop that we have.
Yeah. I mean, EI ceramics, for sure, on the American side, certainly last year, there was the profitability and sales were hot.
So far this year, I mean, we've come back very, very strongly. I think sales-wise, EI Ceramics is up about 25% on sales over last year. And profitability is up by a huge amount. I can't even give a percentage there. But no, EI Ceramics is definitely back so far this year with very good results. And we, as I said earlier, expect that to continue in the future.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I will join back in there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from Harsh K. Shah with Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the follow-up. If you could help us maybe quantify any contribution from the non-ferrous segment in Q1 as of date?
I think, Harsh, that is just the starting point we have done. So nothing major into that. We have long plans to grow into non-ferrous segment.
No, no. I get that point. I'm just basically trying to understand whether we are doing any sort of.
That's not still available with us to share publicly that kind of contribution or the percentage of non-ferrous and ferrous.
Got it. Okay. Secondly, on the gross margin front, so how should one look at the gross margin improvement? So basically, what I'm trying to understand is when do we feel that our high-cost inventory would be completely consumed, by which quarter?
I think inventory. Hey, see, it has to be seen like this that what Rasu has mentioned that what we see that we have almost seen this peak of input cost, and we did not foresee much of increase in input cost in future, that major input cost increase. So maybe by this quarter, we'll be consuming all our high inventory cost or something like that.
So basically, from Q3, we should ideally see improvement in gross margin if things remain the same as it is now.
Maybe yes.
Okay. And have we got any sort of, say, price hikes in some of the products, or how has been the situation on that front?
Yeah. We got price increase on the product definitely in some of our flow control area effective from June, July, so which will reflect in coming quarters. Not in all, but few places, yes.
Okay. And also, I mean, in terms of the consolidated EBITDA margin, right, first, usually, I mean, say, probably a year back, you used to kind of guide for 12%+ kind of consolidated margin. How should one look going forward? Because, I mean, even though you're growing very well in the domestic market, right, but the operating leverage is really not being seen on the margins as of yet. I mean, just wanted to get some thought on that. I mean, how should one look at the margin profile on a company level?
I think we still look at double-digit margin profile at consolidated.
For this year?
Yeah.
Okay. And lastly, last question from my side. What is the tax rate? Because, I mean, for FY26 and beyond, because what we are seeing is that it's constantly in excess of 25%. So any range?
No, it's 25%. Effective tax rate is 25%.
25 only?
Yeah.
On consolidated
level? So at standalone level. Consolidated, we have different taxes.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Yeah. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital Limited for closing comments. Over to you, Sahil.
Yeah. Thank you. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, I would want to thank the management for patiently answering all the questions and also would like to thank all the participants for joining this call. Rasu sir, would you like to give any closing comment?
Yeah. We hope we have been able to answer
all of your queries, and I look forward to your participation in the next call. For any queries, you may contact SGA, our investor relations advisor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.